So then I changed the input to microphones, and the two microphones started working.
You're joking.
Who knew?
Well, here we are, hopefully in full clarity.
So we should explain what has been happening, I guess. We've got a nice setup in the office where we've got two microphone stands and two microphones plugged into the Zune H4 recorder. And it turns out it wasn't using the two microphones. It was only using the inbuilt microphones, which actually, it turns out, are pretty good quality, because from on the floor, it's been recording us two speaking so far.
I'm amazed. And all the clicks and clacks and everything that we've come out with, it's been picking all that up as well. So there must be some powerful condenser mics on that thing.
And the only reason we were looking into it really today was because we got some feedback that it was difficult to hear and understand in the car.
Yeah, that's right. Anders tweeted me to say he listened to it in the car and couldn't hear it very well. So I've been looking at ways to boost it in Audacity and all sorts of things. And it turns out, there you go.
So hopefully from now on, we will sound a lot better and a lot clearer. And
I'm not sure the content will be any better, but
of course it will. So I'm not sure if we mentioned it last time, but we're in iTunes now, aren't we?
We are. Absolutely, yeah.
If we did mention it, apologies, but we're going to mention it again. So you can now subscribe to us through iTunes. And the reason for mentioning it again, instead of saying it at the end of the show when nobody's probably listening anymore, we need some reviews.
Yes.
And some 5-star ratings. So if you do listen to the podcast and you enjoy it, please go to iTunes and leave us a review and a rating. And then hopefully we'll appear higher in the iTunes ranking system, whatever it is for podcasts,
yeah,
and we might
great.
Find some new listeners that way. So
that would be great. Thank you very much. Awesome. For do that.
And we've also got Facebook comments on the site now as well.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know if I told you I added that.
I think you did, yeah. Yeah. I seem to remember it.
So, yeah, when you look at an individual post now, it's got a little Facebook comments thing. So if you've got any feedback or questions about a particular show, or you know, any thoughts or wisdom to impart on Martin and I to put us in our place or correct a mistake we've made,
that would be gratefully received.
Yeah, there's Facebook comments now for you to be able to do that, so that's great. And I realised a bit of testing yesterday, the site's not actually been indexed by Google yet.
Yeah.
So we've not actually done any kind of link to it from our own personal blogs or anything.
No, that's true.
So I'm going to do a quick introduction blog post on my blog, and if you could do the same.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, the only thing we have really done, I guess, is post about it on social media, so Twitter, Facebook.
Right.
And that just goes to show that, well, that Google hasn't really picked up the site from those links.
That's interesting. You would have thought so, wouldn't you?
I think I'd need to check, but I'm not sure whether Twitter does them as no-follow links or not. Anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right, worth checking into that, yeah. But yeah, certainly I'll add a link to it on a blog. My one blog post a month that I'm supposed to be writing.
There you go.
There you go, got this month done.
So have you had a good week?
Not bad, not a bad week. It's been, well, it's obviously the first week back at work, so I suppose it took a couple of days to get ramped up. It's not been as productive as I would have liked, but not bad. Full-time on the freelancing work, which is going okay. I'm quite enjoying it, actually. It's quite good work, mainly JavaScript and HTML. Little bit of Java actually, which has crept in.
How
was it supposed to be there? Yeah, that's a bit more painful, but it's a noddy servlet thing, so it's not a problem. So I've been working on joined up data in the evenings, and I think the actions I took from the last podcast, I had three. I've done
got
one
on my screen now. We'll go through them.
I've done one. So the calling people, the cold call side of things, has been the main thing I've done this week. I've tried to get at least two per day that where I've spoken to people. So that's today's 5 days. I don't plan on doing it this afternoon, but so I've managed to speak to 6 people this week, which I think I'm
that's good.
Fairly pleased with, because it does take a long time to get, you know, I'd spend an hour or so getting a list together of who I'm going to contact, and then for each person you're going to contact, you need to kind of, well, I read the Robert Graham book, the Cold Calling Early Customers book.
Yep.
And you know, just using his suggestions really of doing a bit of research on the website of the company you're going to call, tailor your script to that company if possible, and then call them. So you think, you know, I've called many more than 6, probably double that, and a lot of them either don't answer or voicemail or whatever. So you start to do the same prep before the call, and so that's kind of like wasted time. But it's not wasted, because I've got the script now for when I do call them again. But yeah, managed to get through to 6. And a resounding no interest so far.
From all 6?
Yeah, well, what I decided to do was that, obviously, the joined up data, the idea of merging Excel files and deduplicating rows, etc., in those Excel files is the sort of MVP that I'm going with at the moment. And that has got, obviously, it's a horizontal thing. There are lots of different industries that you think that could be used for. So I've identified a bunch of different verticals that I think I should go after. And because I'm not a big telephone person, I'm not that keen on calling people out of the blue, and cold calling sounds horrible, I decided to pick one of the verticals that I wasn't that confident about to start off with, so that if it was a waste of time in terms of it didn't result in anything, it didn't really matter so much, and I got some practice in, which I'm glad I did. And so I wasn't really expecting to get too much out of it. I'm going to give it, so I've got 3 to 6 people, I'm going to give it to 10, I think. I'll speak to 10 people. And if there's not even a scrap of something to go on out of that, then I'll knock that vertical on the head for now and move on to the next one.
So how did you find the people to call?
Well, it's bookkeepers I've been calling this week. So obviously there's a finance vertical, which it's actually horizontal in itself, isn't it? All the different people that do different jobs in the finance area. But I thought bookkeepers are going to use Excel spreadsheets. And it turns out they don't. Most of them that I've called do the old shoebox full of receipts, typing them into a cloud-based solution like Xero or Sage Online or something like that.
Right.
Which was interesting in itself, because I expected them all to be using Excel spreadsheets or, you know, desktop programs or whatever to actually record the information. But they were all the ones I've spoken to are using online systems like Xero, which is good, I think. So I came up with the different verticals, and I found a few business cards from networking events I've been to around Reading over the last few years, involved with the FSB and that sort of stuff. And so two of them were bookkeepers, so I put them on my list straight away, and then just thought I'll look in and around Berkshire for other bookkeepers. And that's what I've been doing, just searching on Google for bookkeepers in Berkshire.
Yep. Yeah. Very good. So what about your the other two, publishing the article on LinkedIn?
So the article on LinkedIn, I've started to work on it, but I've not finished it yet, ready to publish it. And I want to do a bit more research about what sort of things to put in an article on there. And
so you can pay to then promote that on LinkedIn?
Yeah. Well, what I want to do is, I've read some stuff about it, and people suggest keeping it to about 800 words maximum, that sort of thing. But I've not read anything about whether linking out to your website from it is frowned upon, is acceptable, you know, whether you'll get closed down or whatever for doing it. So I just need to check on that a bit more. I can't see why they do that, as long as the article is, you know, got reasonable content in it. So I'll do that, and then hopefully, well, it's going to be next week now before I actually get around to publishing it, so I'll roll that action over. And then the last one was putting a proper plan together. Other than the cold calling idea of targeting the different verticals, minimum of 10 actual people I actually speak to, I haven't done a plan. So failed.
The website looks good though.
I'm really pleased with the website.
The last episode, yeah, looks really good.
Yeah, so Anders and his crowd have done a good job on that. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? What have you been up to? You're looking pretty relaxed. Have you been on holiday?
Been away for a couple of days. I got back this morning. Did the personal retreat thing. I don't know whether is it personal retreat or solo retreat or
personal retreat. Sounds
bad.
Sounds right. Yeah.
So yeah, I went away for Wednesday and Thursday. Stayed away Wednesday night and Thursday night. So I'll talk about that in a bit more detail, I guess. It's kind of the main section. But I'll go through the actions I put down.
Yeah.
For last week. So the personal retreat was number one. So I got that done, which is great. I got the budgets done for VoucherCodes Pro and the other business. So that's interesting. I find that quite interesting, of just doing that once a year and keeping it up to date.
Yeah,
a bit of financial planning, just to, it makes you realise once the numbers were down on paper and you add them up for each month how much your expenses are.
Is it motivational, do you think?
Scares you a bit, to be honest. When you realise what's the minimum amount you have to bring in each month.
Yeah.
Until you do that, it's just a stab in the dark. I mean, yeah.
You have a vague idea in your mind of what you need, but once you actually write it down like that, you can see.
I guess so. Before I'd even done it, the biggest cost for us is salaries.
Yeah.
And I guess you don't realise, you kind of know how many people you employ, but you don't realise once all those salaries are added up,
yeah,
you know, kind of what impact that is on what the total cost is. It's a bit scary. And then you work it out as to how much money or revenue you need to make per day. And then
per minute and then per second.
So that's good. I'm glad that's done. Puts it all into perspective. What was the other one? Oh, start building out Alex's golf site on WordPress. Not so much progress on that. I've finally got some photos off Alex of him hitting some golf balls and playing golf.
Oh, great.
Which I guess is the main kind of aspect of the site to a certain degree. So hopefully over this weekend, make some progress with that.
Yeah.
I think I did, since last week, I bought some templates as well. There was one particular company, I can't remember their name now. They've got a package of like 15 different templates. They're all quite good, high quality ones as well. So I thought I would purchase those templates and then... Rather than that, the initial plan was I would build some templates myself, or themes, sorry, myself.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, just to initially get going and stuff, that could take anything from, for me to learn how to do it as well, in 3 weeks to 2 months or something like that. So I thought it would be better just to get some off-the-shelf themes
definitely.
and base people's sites off that to get going with.
Yeah. Then you can always hire a designer to do specific ones if you wanted to.
Certainly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the good news is, actually, we've got our first customer.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo! But it's not a golf teaching professional.
Ah.
it's someone who's I know from previous work, who's starting up their own business and wants a WordPress website. So I sent them over the kind of pricing structure that I've put together for the golf offering, productized services, as just giving it to them as like a normal business type thing. And they took up on the initial sign-up logo doing... creation of the site and help with the content, and then
so is this through the consulting arm of FactorCodes Pro, or is this you doing it?
The consulting thing is a kind of a separate setup.
Yeah,
so that's nothing to do with FactorCodes Pro. Separate company, it'll be separately registered and everything. So that's the first customer for that. And although it's a different, it's not to do with golf. And I guess the issue is, I don't want to be going. I want to target on the niche of golf because golf sites are pretty similar, or the golf sites will be pretty similar. Yeah. So it'll be easy to build a process then around the setup and creation of them and the processes around doing that. And then hopefully I'll be able to get other people to do that for me.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're working with a different business type each time, there's a lot more backwards and forwards of finding out what the business does, you know, what their aim of the website is and all that kind of stuff. And so I think I'm doing this kind of, not as a favor for a friend, because it's great to get a customer, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think we'll try at least to start with, try and stick to the niche of golf sites.
Yeah.
But this will be interesting still to kind of work out the processes of what the steps are. And already that I'm kind of making mental notes of the steps you have to go through, of helping them register a domain name is step one. Step two is help them work on a logo.
Yeah.
And you've got to kind of get the logo done before you can go on to step three of other bits and pieces and so on. So
you need color schemes for templates.
Yeah, so already there's like some processes are being put into place.
So when you say we about doing this. So are you planning on putting this through the consultancy, or are you planning on just doing it yourself?
No, it's the plan is to put it through the consultancy.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much, because it's difficult, because we will probably get some inquiries come in for web design type thing, where we could do them as a one-off project and say charge £4,000, £5,000 and do it in a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, for this particular project, I pushed them down the route of going with the productized service.
So off-the-shelf type
product. Off-the-shelf. So it's less upfront cost for them, but then there's a monthly cost, and you know the lifetime value of the customer will make up for that. So it's an investment from our point of view to start with, of getting a logo done and helping them with the domain name and get the site set up. So that's good. So we've got that first customer. We had the SEO audit done on VoucherCodes Pro, which came back as a big document. It's one of the first documents I've actually printed off on paper for a while. There's a few actions in there. The site in general is good. You know, the page speed stuff, which is something we've concentrated on, is good.
Yeah.
Something you want to talk about later, page speed, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the big thing is, and this is worth mentioning to other people, perhaps a mistake we made, when we kind of were looking through the site, this is probably about a year ago, and we decided the thin content pages that we had, we wanted to not get them indexed by Google to try and protect us from panda issues.
You removed thousands of pages, didn't you?
Well, that's another thing that we did later on, actually, when we did get hit by panda. But to try and stop ourselves getting hit by panda, we decided the retailer page, the smaller retailers that had voucher codes and listings on, we would no index them.
Right.
But we also, through advice and through our own thinking as well, we blocked them in robots.txt.
Okay.
And it turns out that you don't need to do the robots.txt thing. So we had, I think it's 1,500 pages listed in robots.txt to block from Google. And we kind of think that may well have been potentially one of the things that triggered the penalty in May time, potentially. Or it may be one of the reasons why, from the work we did back in May of deleting those 2,000 blog posts, why we haven't recovered from Panda yet.
Right.
So
why would that be, though? Because Google recommends you use robots and all the rest of it, doesn't it?
Well, if you don't want a page indexed, you can just put meta no index in the meta section, which is what you should do. You don't need to put the URL in robots.txt as well. Mm. And we kind of think it's flagged something up to Google why we've got 1,500 entries in robots.txt.
Right.
That's one thing. That's one thing we can think of. We've removed all those entries from robots.txt.
Yeah.
A lot of the pages are still no index from the meta section.
Yeah.
And we'll see whether that makes any difference.
Okay.
From something I read last night, they were talking about thin content pages, and the only action they said to do for thin content was put no index on the pages. So they didn't say anything about putting anything in robots.txt. So we shall see if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
But as a colleague said the other day, a lot of this SEO stuff is trial and error to a certain degree. So we shall see what happens with that. Yeah.
So, I mean, talking SEO and that sort of thing, I think I reported a while ago about robots.txt, about my Google Analytics showing all these referrals, like 50 a day-ish, coming from Russian websites. I think I've found out, well, I'm pretty sure I've found out what the problem is, and it's a thing called referral spam, which I'd never heard of.
Right.
Basically, I did a bit of searching around after that podcast that I mentioned it, and there were some articles came up. I'll link to them in the show notes, but it basically, these sites that I was seeing in my referrals were explicitly mentioned. And what it is this referral spam, is they put random links out to your website, so you get referrals effectively from their website, which aren't really referrals, they're just, you know, constructed queries, if you like. And the idea is that it then gets logged in your referral logs and everything. And so if you publish your stats and your referral logs, including the referrals, then they get a link back.
Right.
That's the pure reason for doing it. And just sounds bizarre to me. I mean, I don't know how many sites actually publish those statistics. But, that's what it is. So the solution is to, one of the solutions is to just block it from your, you know, put a filter in your analytics so you don't see it anymore. So that's what I've done. Yeah, it's a new one on me, that one.
What's traffic like with that filtered
big
out?
Big fat zero. I get a couple a day, perhaps, if I'm lucky. Some days, zero a day. One of the things I've been doing this week as well is looking around on Quora and answering some questions on that.
Hmm.
So I don't get much time to do it, unfortunately, but I look at Reddit and I look at Quora and I try and put some comments on there. In the Quora post, I linked back to my website as well, but I haven't seen any benefit of that yet. If there would be, I'm not sure if there would be, but I'd put them in anyway. Reddit I haven't linked back to yet, but yeah, so I'll just keep doing that. Hopefully in the long term that'll work out.
When are you going to try the Reddit ads?
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm posting to Reddit. I just want to build up a bit of sort of, you know, a bit of a not reputation, but a few entries that I've actually commented on, etc. on there before I do that. So I'm going to first off try this LinkedIn post, and then I'll probably sponsor that, see how that goes. So that's probably going to be sometime over the next couple of weeks. And then after that, I suppose, would be the next thing, look at Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's all part of the plan that I haven't written down yet.
It's all in your head.
Yeah.
So I guess I can tell you all about the personal retreat.
Yes, let's talk about your personal retreat. Your holiday retreat, yeah. Personal retreat.
So I don't know, I've written down loads of notes about it. I guess I only got back this morning as well, so I haven't had time to reflect on it from being back at home too long. But I thought it was great. I'd recommend it to anyone
who
has a chance to do it. You know, you need an understanding spouse or partner, which I thankfully have. And I'll recommend to Sophie that she goes away and spends a couple of days by herself as well and thinks about stuff.
Yeah.
Because we have a few different things that are going on in our life, such as whether to get an extension done or move house and things like that. And they're things that, you know, you kind of make a decision on, but you don't necessarily think about them properly and think through all the ramifications of taking certain steps unless you sit down and decide to actually think about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's that true. Sense. And you, the big decisions as well, involving lots of money. So you have to make sure you get them right.
So for in terms of the personal retreat, I set off on Wednesday morning. I decide to go to Bognor Regis, which I don't know why. I looked on the map and I wanted to go somewhere by the sea.
Yeah.
And so for us being in Reading, kind of Southampton, Portsmouth area, I didn't want to go to Southampton or Portsmouth because I thought it'd be too big.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted a small place so I wouldn't get any hassle or bothered by anyone. So I looked on a map and Bognor Regis was there. So that sounds all right. It's a funny sounding place.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I went there when I was a kid with the family.
They got a Butlins there, so.
Oh, right.
Potentially, maybe. I guess. So I went there, and of course, because it's winter, everything's closed down, including the hotels. But it's interesting around there, though, because the area that I looked at just kind of to the side of Bognor Regis, there were like loads of little streets on the map were going down to the beach and so on. I thought there's got to be like bed and breakfast there and hotels and so on. But driving along the road, they're all private gated communities.
Oh, right.
Go down to the beach and...
Wow.
So there's lots of area around there. I think it's Pagham or something like that, the area that I was particularly looking at. That where I thought there would be lots of B&Bs and nice places to stay was just private residential areas.
So you hadn't booked anything, you just...
So no, I hadn't booked anything. And so, because me and Sophie, whenever we've gone away on holidays before, like just decided to go away, we've never booked anything. And we've always lucked out and found really nice places. And that's part of the adventure, I guess.
Yeah.
But then after driving around Bognor Regis for a little bit, I thought my luck's finally run out. And I'm going to end up in a travel lodge just off the main A road or something. Because there was the Royal Norfolk Hotel was there, I think, and that looked nice. And so, you know, I couldn't find the little B&B or hotel, so I thought I'd just go there. Pulled up, parked up. There were a couple of cars outside.
Yeah.
It was bloody closed for refurbishment until February. So I was like, oh. And this comes back to one of my kind of advice tips at the end. So I got back in the car and looked on the Google Maps on my phone, and like Brighton was the closest big place. I was like, I'm just going to drive to Brighton because there's got to be lots of hotels there.
Yeah.
And then literally just 2 miles outside of Bognor Regis, there was like this big brown sign for a hotel. Went down there and tried it, and it was this amazing hotel, Bailiff's Court Hotel,
right?
And spa place. It was really weird because it's like it looks like a 17th century hotel.
Yeah.
But it was built in 1920.
Right, okay.
Which is odd. I had to ask. I read through all the literature for the place and I had to ask to make sure that I'd understood it correctly.
Yeah.
Because that's how old it all looked. It's weird. But it was really, really nice. It was nice and quiet. Didn't get pestered. There were just lots of old couples there who were going for spa weekends. So they just left me to myself.
Yeah. The benefit of going midweek.
There you go. And it was like a 4-minute walk away from the sea. So I went for some walks along the pebble beach. It wasn't a sand beach, unfortunately, but that was good. But my first kind of tip for people probably would be to book somewhere before you go.
Advanced, yeah.
So you at least know where you're going to be heading to. And the second thing I would say is I try and stay a full day without any travel, because my first idea was to drive there on Wednesday and then leave kind of late on Thursday.
Okay.
But I kind of thought if I did that, I'd be spending the whole day of Thursday thinking I've only got 8 hours to go before I have to go home, 6 hours to go before I have to go home, and always have that in my mind. So I did warn Sophie and said I might stay away Thursday night as well, and she was okay about that. So I'd suggest a whole day at that place, whether that's the first day, so you travel over the night before, or either way, work out so you can spend a whole 24 hours there. So the first afternoon, with that looking around for hotels and stuff, that took most of Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
After a bit of lunch and stuff, the first part of, I guess, the retreat, I spent reading my journals, which I read all of 2013, what I'd written, and all of 2014.
Wow. How long did that take you?
That took all the afternoon. That was all I did on kind of Wednesday afternoon.
How much do you write for each journal entry? Is it like a page?
Yeah, I guess so. So I don't do it religiously. There are some gaps.
Yeah.
Of like, funnily enough, when something crazy has happened, like Isabel was born, and we were just in survival mode, I kind of forgot to write in a journal, which I guess looking back is probably the best time to write, bringing back all those memories. But so there were some gaps like that. But with the moleskin thing, I think they're like A5 size, aren't they? So I generally do a page of A5 for a day, or sometimes just half or something like that. But there were some interesting things that came out of rereading it. That 2014 was a lot harder year than I thought it was in terms of the survival from having a new baby come into the family. Although that was halfway through 2013 that happened. The amount of sleepless nights I've kind of forgotten about.
Yeah.
Isabel was a lot more ill than I remember. She had a lot more colds. She went to doctors quite more often. So although I remember, as I just said in the last podcast, her being sick over Christmas and stuff, I've kind of had in my mind that she's been a fit and well baby apart from that over Christmas.
Yeah.
But reading back over my journal, like every probably once a month she's had some kind of cold or sickness thing that's made her stay off school or one of us have to stay off work to look after her, which is funny. I've just completely blanked that from my mind.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
And I kind of put this down to, well, this is like my complete guesstimate, that, you know, women forget the pain of childbirth.
Yeah.
I think us men must perhaps forget the pain of of new babies and stuff.
So that
if the question comes up of having another one, then you kind of forget how difficult it was. And you think, oh, it was so lovely. Let's have another baby. That's my my big idea of the day, anyway. What else have I written down in my notes? Oh, it's interesting as well. Some of the ideas that I think I've come up with recently, I kind of thought of 18 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's kind of shocking that, again, I've forgotten them or something.
Yeah.
And I guess if they're repeated ideas and stuff, they must be something worth pursuing.
Must be something there. Yeah. Something that you want to do, at least, even if it's not a
big idea. So that was Wednesday. Had a nice meal and a couple of glasses of wine in the evening and a good night's sleep. And so Thursday, having gone through all the journals and stuff, the first thing I did was I kind of had a plan, actually, before I went, of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so this actually got inserted from something I was reading the night before, I think, about brainstorming my values.
Okay.
Sounds a really touchy-feely thing again.
Yeah, I've got something about that a bit in a while as well.
And so I actually, like I say, it was by accident. I wasn't meaning to do it. I'm not going to say what my values that I came up with were or anything, but I found... this thing called a website, we'll include it in the show notes,
yeah,
called startofhappiness.com. And it's some guy who's writing a blog about himself,
yeah,
finding happiness, and he's selling an ebook and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. The usual stuff. But his two blog posts on kind of what are values and coming up with your own values were really, really useful. And I found that actually really interesting doing it and coming up with like my top 10 values. And now I kind of feel like when I've got decisions to make and questions that come up in my life, that I've actually got something I can kind of set of values I can run them through as to find out whether it's like a good thing to do or not.
That's a good idea.
And that comes on to the next thing, which I did, which was a strengths finders test.
Oh, right. You've done one of those, have you?
Yeah, so I did that, and that was really interesting. Rob Walling mentioned it, that I think he's done it a while ago, but he kind of reviews the results whenever he goes on his retreats. And that was really, really interesting. I wasn't sure what would come out of it. And I've known about the strengths finder test for a while, but I've kind of I haven't done it before because I felt like I didn't want to be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
But having done it, the things that came out, number one for me, my strengths, was learning. And which is really interesting because having seen the results and it gives you your top five strengths. I think you can pay extra to get a fuller report, but the top five strengths were exactly, you know, having read them, what it makes sense that they are. And the learning one is interesting because it comes back to the shiny new things that we were talking about. Yeah. And so I have the most fun and find things most interesting when I'm learning new things.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what kind of the strength test thing has come back and said is my number one strength. Mm. And so I can see where it's the whole, what it says in the report as well, it's got a nice quote where it's the whole process of learning. It's not the actual result that comes out of the learning. Yeah. And so this, I think that's true because there's sometimes lots of projects I've started up that I've had fun building, but they don't actually see the light of day to the world.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to help me structure my day where I'm going to try and set aside time to learn and do new projects each day.
Okay.
Whether it's the first 2 or 3 hours of each day to work on something. And that kind of comes into the shiny new objects thing that we've always spoken about.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that's important, perhaps for me anyway, because that's one of my strengths and one of the things I enjoy.
Yeah.
And rather than the whole issue is around obviously starting a new project and how does that fit in with the perseverance of wanting to start a company, and do you just accept it's like a learning project and that you're happy to throw it away? Or
yeah. I think a lot of people have the same thing. You know, you always hear about people talking about the shiny new thing that's distracting them from what they're doing day to day. And you know, I certainly remember at MicroConf Europe in 2014 now, but lots of people I spoke to was talking about the same thing. You know, it's hard to keep the momentum going when new ideas are popping up all the time. So maybe it's a trait of techie type people that learning is a key thing. But I like your idea of setting aside some time for it, so you can kind of like, you know, quench that thirst of wanting to do something new.
Mm.
Even if it's just for a couple of hours, and then spend the rest of the day getting on with something else, you know.
So the first strength for me was learner, the second one was achiever.
Right.
And so how I'm going to work it into my schedule and what I'm doing is I'm going to try and set a challenge of learning a new thing each month. And so I have I use my learning strength and the achieving strength of trying to learn it within a month.
Right.
And then I guess there's either two things I can do then. I can either write up what I've learned that month.
Yeah.
Terms of it will help other people hopefully and put it onto a blog post or whatever,
yeah.
Or it will end up being something that's built that I can release to the world and, you know, see if other people find interesting or something. Great, it doesn't have to be whatever. I mean, what the theory is, whatever project I take on or whatever it is to learn, it doesn't have to be a business next thing, which is perhaps what we always get trapped into thinking, and everything we build has to have a monetary return value. As perhaps we should just build for fun and for the sake of doing it, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess that's the open source side of things. People do open source for that, maybe. You could do that even, open source some projects.
Yeah,
then maybe. You've got to manage it though, haven't you?
Yeah. I'd be more worried about people reading my code. So I did the strength finder thing. After that also helped as well with the values thing. Of the next thing I had on my list of things to do, and this was kind of the last thing, was review all of my projects. And all of us do things that I kind of dragged out of reading journals and so on.
Yeah.
And so I was able to kind of review my project. Some I kicked into touch and said, no, I just don't want to do now this year.
Mm.
I kind of focused on my routine as well, the daily routine thing that we spoke about last week. Yeah. So worked on that a bit in terms of trying to put a structure in place that I'll try and stick to each day. Some of it is in terms of, you know, blocking the day into chunks, 3 hours on this, right. 2 hours on that, 3 hours on that.
Yeah.
And then other little things from things I picked up in my journal of when things have been going well, of not signing into Skype until lunchtime and opening email till lunchtime and things like that.
Yeah.
All
these so great ideas, which I'll probably nick some of those off you as well. But it's not new stuff, is it? I mean, you hear other people talking about the same sorts of things, and it's good that you can back it up with this retreat that you've had where you've actually looked into previous journals and you've thought about it all and you can see where your strengths are and all that. That's really good to be able to attach that to it rather than just say, well, that's somebody else's idea, it won't work for me. You know, you have to see how it worked for you.
Yep.
It's brilliant.
So how have you been getting on with your journals? You said you were going to start writing.
I was this Miracle Morning thing we talked about last week, and I said that I was going to start getting up early. Well, I said I was going to start from Monday, but I actually started on Saturday. I managed to get up not quite as early as I might have done, but I was up at 7 on Saturday and Sunday, and I spent the hour I mean, I signed up for Headspace, and I've been doing meditation every morning, going through the program that they've got on Headspace. So I do that. I get up on the weekends. I say I'm going for 7 a.m. and then during the week I get up about 6:15. And so I've been doing the Headspace meditation in the morning, and then writing in a journal. I have to admit, the journal side of things I find a bit tricky for some reason. I don't know why, but I just find it hard to know what to write, you know. And sometimes I've just got one thing or something that I know I want to write, and then after that I'm kind of racking my brain, which makes it feel a bit more difficult than it should be. So I'm wondering whether actually I should be doing it at the end of the day, after the day, while it's fresh in my mind, to get it all off my mind, rather than first thing in the morning. So I'm thinking about switching that, but
experiment with it is the best thing to do, isn't it?
So I think I'll try that. So the Miracle Morning was, they had these six things, you know, meditation, exercise, journaling, all sorts of stuff. So I've just been doing the meditation and the journaling for now. And then I do a bit of the reading, which is just doing, which is looking at articles which I wanted to read, or sometimes I do a bit of work if I feeling like I want to do that. But the key thing is I'm getting up early and doing it. And it's hard to know whether it's because we just had the Christmas break and so it's the first week back at work after all that, or whether actually this meditation and that is working. But I certainly feel calmer, you know, less bothered by things nagging in the back of my mind, which is good. So I think I'm going to stick with it, see how we go.
Cool.
I did buy the book on Audible, the Miracle Morning book, and I listened to it. And one of the things he talks about, which I've heard before as well, is It takes 21 days to establish a habit. But his, you know, he says you should do it for 30 days because after 21 days you might have established it, but it's pretty easy to break again. So if you keep going for 30 days, then you'd pretty much be happy that you've got it. So I'm going to try and keep going with this early morning thing for 30 days and see where we are. I even managed it on Wednesday after a darts night, which was amazing. Darts nights are notoriously drink-fueled. And this week it wasn't quite as bad as it can be, but I still managed to get up at 6 after it, which I was pleased with myself about. I was quite tired, but I managed to do it.
Yeah. So I was asking about the journaling thing, whether you started, because I think with the retreat thing, I don't think I'd have found it very useful if I didn't have the journals to review.
Yeah.
So I think the tips I've got for people, if anyone wants to do a personal retreat, is have an understanding spouse. Have a destination booked before you go, so you can just travel there and you don't really have to think about it or make any decisions while you're looking around for a hotel. Have some journals to review, so whether that's a 3 months worth of, like, a quarter or half a year's worth, yeah, or a whole year's worth. Have something to review of what you've been up to. Have a full day there without travel, so you don't have to think about getting home or something like that. You can just concentrate on what you want to,
yeah,
well, not concentrate, but just be able to think freely without having to worry about what time it is and so on. And then I'd suggest to everyone to take that Strength Finders course. I found it really interesting. I'll forward over my results to you. You can have a look at it if you want.
Oh, right. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
And that's it.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting, again, like I said earlier on, I only got back about 10:30 this morning driving back from Bognor Regis, so it's kind of all fresh in my mind. And I'm kind of wondering, after a bit of reflection time at home, you know, if any other insights will come out or anything else will happen, I guess. But
yeah, at least you've got notes, because I think my tendency would be for it to drift away, you know, and get back into the normal routine and then forget all about what I found out in that time. But it's good that you've got notes. So the big question that's burning in my mind now, did you keep up with your run streak?
Yes, I took my running stuff with me. So I haven't done one today yet. I need to pop out later on and get a run.
How many days is that now?
Yesterday was the 8th of January, wasn't it? So eight days.
8 days, excellent.
Done a full week.
Fantastic.
Yeah, my legs are feeling all right as well, actually. I haven't run far. I think
no.
The longest run I've done has just been over 3 miles.
Yeah.
But I certainly feel good. I certainly feel good because I'm accomplishing something
tiny
every day, just doing a mile, but it is good, yeah.
Excellent.
Anything else you want to talk about, or should we get into actions for next week?
Well, there's a couple of things I've noticed this week that have just come across. One of them is, I think we talked previously about page speed and how it affects Google's rankings, or Google say it affects the rankings, etc. And I don't know how, I can't remember where I saw it now, but I'd never heard of it before, the Google Page Speed service. I don't know if you'd heard of it before, but it's basically a service that's in beta that Google are providing, and they're not actually accepting any more submissions, so they've closed it off. But there's a review of it on Fog Creek's blog, which I'll add to the show notes. So basically the idea is that all the things that you do to your website, like optimizing your images, you know, minifying JavaScript and CSS and HTML and you know, combining all the different files together, that sort of thing, that's what it does for you, basically. And then it also uses its CDN to spread your content out around the world on the different data centers, which I thought was fantastic, because, you know, I mean, I've got a server in the UK which runs my site, but I would imagine most of my customers I'd want to come from the US, so that, you know, if I could get my site on a CDN in the US and in Europe and in Australia or whatever, you know, that would be fantastic for improving the speed. So it's just one to watch, really. I just wanted to flag it up, as I'll probably look out for that. I mean, yeah. I've always been worried about that sort of thing, where, you know, it's all very well having a server that you host or that you rent, or a virtual private server or whatever, and then you put your WordPress instance on it, or you get WordPress from a WordPress hosting company. You kind of know how that works, and all the content's yours. You can manage the files and everything yourself. So it's a bit of a worry saying, here you go, Google, do all this for me. But I saw a few comments from people using it, said it was really good.
Yep.
And it did quite a good job of improving the page speed. So, you know, it's got to be worth looking into in the future. At first, I was a bit worried that it didn't support HTTPS, which, with the latest announcement, well, not latest, but the recent announcement from Google about they want all websites to be SSL, That shocked me a bit, but having looked into it a bit more, it does
right.
support SSL. I think you have to upload your certificate so that they can use it, obviously. But yeah, it seems to support it.
Yeah. So yeah, as we know, page speed is one of the ranking factors that
yeah.
of the hundreds that Google look at for a site, so it is important.
Exactly, yeah. yeah.
And it's interesting, they say that speed is important for the web.
Yeah.
That they're taking an active approach of solving the problem for people rather than doing what we did, where I did all of that stuff manually.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting, actually. I'm glad I did. Because I think when we went, I went and spent the time back in October or September, the page speed that was available then as well. So it's been right. around for a few months at least.
Okay.
But I don't think I could sign up for it then either. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. And, you know, I've spent, it's probably time I shouldn't really have spent at this early stage, but I've spent a good few hours tinkering with stuff on the WordPress instance with, you know, trying different plugins and so on to do all this. And if you could just not worry about it, it would be fantastic.
Especially for something like WordPress, because it's so database driven and chatty to the database.
Every plugin you install might do something different, which you then have to cope with, you know. So it's, that's good. And cool. The other thing related to Google, and it's sort of tweeted by Christoph Engelhardt, actually, Google's lost 4% market share to Yahoo, which is obviously powered by Bing.
Yep.
Which was interesting, and it's put that they've put it down to the fact that the deal with Firefox that Yahoo have got now to be the main search provider for Firefox is where it's come from.
It's funny, isn't it? Because Google used to fund Firefox. I'm sure.
Really?
I'm sure they used to put money in there. I guess that was to pay for them to be the default search,
right?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Do you use Firefox anymore?
I've used it. I use it occasionally. Some projects I do, they support Firefox for their users, so I have to use it occasionally, but I haven't used it in anger for a long while.
Yeah, I'm a Google Chrome user.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah, yeah. I believe the developer tools in Firefox are supposed to be quite good, but I haven't used them for donkey's years, so yeah. I don't know.
Bing traffic for us is still insignificant.
Is it?
Yeah.
I noticed I got one of my one or two hits a day the other week from Bing, so I might have a look. But if I've got a spare 10 minutes, which is never, but
I mean, the good thing is, because there's Bing Webmaster Tools, as there is Google Webmaster Tools, and with Google Analytics, it doesn't give you the keyword data anymore, does it? Not provided.
Right,
whereas Bing does give you the full keyword data, what people are searching for.
Yeah.
Which if is one of the solutions people use for extrapolating what their keyword data would be from Google as
smaller data set, but it's still potentially valid. Interesting.
Very good.
It's worth watching, certainly.
Yep. So, actions?
Well, I'm going to roll over, really, my actions from last week. I'm obviously carrying on trying to do cold calls, so I'll actually set myself a target of 7, I think.
Right.
So I managed 6 this week.
You're sticking with the bookkeepers as well?
Until I've spoken to 10. So I'm gonna. I don't know what the significant number is, you know, of people that you need to speak to before you can get a good feeling, but after 2 or 3, I got a feeling that this was probably flogging a dead horse. But I thought, well, I've got to keep going until I've got a decent number, because you never know what might happen. And I just came up with 10 as a decent number. So I'll go for 10, and if all of them are sort of negative, then I'll just put it to one side for now. I'll make notes on each of the calls, so I've got the notes to look at in the future if ever I need to. So yeah, so I'll get to 10 and I'll move on to the next. If it still seems like a dead place to go, then I'll just... a dead end, that's the word I was looking for. If it still seems like a dead end, I'll just close it off and stop doing that and look at something else.
Okay.
Oh, and the LinkedIn article, that's the other thing I want to get done next week.
Yeah, I want you to get that done as well to see what the results are like. Get move on.
Yeah.
I think for me, have you finished yours?
Yes, that's it. There's just two.
So for me, I'm just going to add one, which is get Alex's golf site up.
Ah,
the WordPress thing. So really want to push on with that. My learning objective for January is just around WordPress. So because I've
around
started
WordPress, that's
well, it is
like
WordPress, I guess. Learning WordPress, which I've started already, going through lots of training videos and all that kind of stuff. So I've finished the training course, I guess, on Treehouse, which is what I'm using.
Yeah.
By the end of January.
So, what do you want to have written a plugin or something like that, or just be familiar with how to build sites with it?
I think just be familiar from a non-coding point of view, would say, because the plugins all use PHP, don't they? So that would be a thing to learn all by itself, I guess, as a learning objective. So just be able to, I guess, manually be able to build out the sites.
Yeah.
So we cap, like, the Gov site engine can be a business, then it can go forward and I can build the sites and so on. So
by the end of next week you should have that done if you're going to have Alex's site done by then.
In theory, yeah. I mean, potentially his will be quite simple compared to what potentially could be done once I'm fully up to speed, but yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Sounds good.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. Well, cheers then.
That's another show. Hopefully this one sounds a lot better for people as well.
I hope so too, yeah.
And now it sounds better. You can go leave 5-star reviews.
Oh, yes, please. Don't forget that.
In iTunes. Cool. All right.
All right. Cheers,
Martin. Bye.
See ya. Bye.